Good morning. This is Judy Mario, and this is Choices. And today we are talking about how you communicate for results. In this age of information, we have to send, receive, and process huge amounts of information, knowledge, and messages every day. And effective communication means more than just exchanging information. It is a combined set of skills, nonverbal, what people see about you, attentive listening, the ability to manage stress in the present, the capacity to recognize and understand emotions in yourself and in other people. Yes, it is a learned skill, and you can learn it. You can learn how to communicate for results. See, effective communication can deepen your connection to other people, and that will improve your relationships. It will improve teamwork. You'll be better able to make decisions and better able to solve problems. Effective communication can make it possible for you to deliver difficult information without creating conflict or destroying trust. And no matter what your job is, you need the ability to work well with others. If you are able to bring out the best in those people with whom you work and the people with whom you live, the sky is the limit to your success. We need to face the fact that miscommunication is the number one problem in most of our workplaces. And it's also the number one problem in most of our lives. Just think about it. I'll bet in your workplace or in your home, the biggest problem you have is miscommunication. Somehow or another, someone didn't understand the message. And the reason for that is this. We communicate in 8 ways at one time. You see, there's what I mean to say and what I actually do say and what you hear me say and what you thought you heard me say. And then there's what you need to say and what you actually do say and what I hear you say and what I thought I heard you say. Is there any wonder that we have miscommunication and stress? All of these things are going on at one time. You see, quality communication is achieved when the intent of the message is understood. When the intent of the message is understood. That might not necessarily be the words that are actually said. So what is communication? Well, communication is an interactive process between at least two people whereby one person expresses himself in a clear and unambiguous way and the other person is able to understand fully and properly. That said, fully and properly understand. So communication is understanding. Communication doesn't just mean that one person talks and the other person listens, or one person talks and the other talks louder. Communication is actually when one person talks and the other person understands. But what gets in the way? What gets in the way of the understanding? Well, there's things like filters. What's a filter? Well, a filter is anything that will keep something from coming through. And so a filter might be some experiences that you've had in the past, or it might be some judgments that you make. It might be a distraction. Those are filters. Those keep people from fully understanding what's going on. Let's think about some of them. You know, there are distractions. The distractions of what's going on around you, the noise that's going on around you, the visual things that you get distracted by watching something else and so your mind goes somewhere else. There is knowledge. If you know something and you feel like the other person that's talking to you doesn't know it, your internal language, your internal self starts talking to itself and saying, well, I don't believe this person knows what they're talking about. Or, I know more about that than they do. And see, what happens is when we have more knowledge than the other person's talking, sometimes our mind just goes somewhere else and talks to itself. Judgments. Oh, my goodness. we make judgments about other people and about what they're saying, don't we? I know even I do it. It wasn't too long ago that I was in the escrow office signing some documents for a new piece of property that I was buying. And the lady that was helping me was sitting there, and she had shaved her eyebrows off of her face and drawn new eyebrows on, and they were kind of going like straight up to her hairline. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, she looks like a Klingon, or she looks like Dr. Spock. And what was happening, not Dr. Spock, but Spock from Star Trek, you know, with the way their eyebrows go up. So I was making these judgments, and I was thinking, wow, she couldn't be too smart, or she wouldn't have done that to her face. Now, I mean, I know better. I teach communication skills, and still, there I was making a judgment. We all do it. We look at other people, or we hear what someone else says, and we start to relate it to something we know, and we start to make those judgments. And that's a filter. It gets in the way of understanding. It gets in the way of listening, because our internal voice is doing the talking, and we're not really paying attention right there. And then there's the tone of voice. When someone speaks to us in a tone of voice that sounds like they're talking down to us or that they think we're stupid, that's a filter because we start to get defensive. And then there's that internal voice again. Or what about their body language? We look at the way they're sitting or the way they're standing, and it tells us that something's going on, that they're not paying attention or they are paying attention. So that's a filter. And then experiences. What kind of experiences have we had in life? Has something similar to this happened to you before? Or have you never had these experiences? These are filters, and they all get in the way of really, really good communication. So let's think about this for a minute. What are the components of communication? Well, basically, we're saying that there's three components. There's the nonverbals, the way we look, the body language, the way we stand, the way we walk, the way we use our hands, the way we gesture, the facial expression, that's all part of the nonverbals. And then there's the verbal, which is the words that we say, and the vocal, which is the tone of voice that we use. Now, Dr. Albert Mehrabian, who wrote the book Silent Messages, which is long since and out of print, he told us in that book that the nonverbals were the most important thing. He said that when we're in one-on-one communication with another person, that the nonverbals account for 55% of us getting our message across. So the way we look when we say the words has a lot to do with whether or not the other person understands. So the nonverbals are so important. If people have a choice between what you're saying and the way you look when you're saying it, they're going to choose the way you look when you're saying it as the meaning. You see, we need our nonverbals to be congruent with our verbals. We need the body language to say the same thing as the words that we're saying, and we need the tone of voice to say the same thing as well. So we want to be aware that, yes, what we say is very, very, very important. The words we use are very important, but we also want to make sure that we use the right tone of voice and we look like we are saying what we mean. We look like it as well. So how do you look? How do you look? Do you look friendly? Do you look aggressive? Do you look positive? Do you look inviting? Do you look like you're open to listening to the other person? Or do you look unhappy and stressed and closed down? See, it's important for you to know how you look. And one of the things that's really important is for you to have a facial expression and a body posture that says, I'm listening to you, I'm interested in you. And then also, how do you sound? How do you sound? Do you sound friendly? Do you sound like you're acknowledging the person? Do you sound like you're curious? Do you sound like you're understanding what the other person is saying? Do you sound like you have disappointment in your voice. Do you sound like you're surprised? Do you know how you sound? A lot of people say, oh, I said that, but I didn't understand. I didn't know it sounded like that. Yes, you know what you sound like. You know what you sound like. We all know what we sound like when we say what we say. See, it's a matter of caring. It's a matter of attitude. It's a matter of putting the effort into the communication process. And when I say attitude, let's think about that for a minute. What is attitude? Attitude is a habit of thought. It's an outward expression of an inner feeling. So whatever it is that you're looking like on the outside, it's probably a habit. You're either displaying unhappiness, fear, doubt, and stress, or you're displaying happy, friendly, that you're a winner, that you're fun to be around. We know how we look and sound, and that is our attitude. And if we have a great attitude, we're making an effort to look and sound happy, friendly, and that we are interested in the other person. Do you know that in an average workplace, you hear a minimum of 5 negative statements every hour? A minimum of 5 negatives? Let's do the numbers there. If you're working an 8-hour day, that's 40 negatives a day that you're hearing. That's 200 a week. That's 800 a month. And you know, some of us live with some people that are less than positive. So let's give you another 200 negatives a month there. So you're hearing about 1,000 negatives a month. And do you know that it takes between 14 and 20 positives to overcome the effects of one negative? 14 to 20. So you need to say positive things yourself. You need to be positive. You need to work on putting out positive energy and acting interested in other people. You see, our emotions move in such a viral way between people. A psychological study found that people who sit near each other in a room for a few minutes without speaking to each other, without even speaking to each other, will emerge from the room in the same mood. Can you relate that? And so you don't want to let those negative people who are around you affect you so that you catch their negativity. It's a virus. You've got to be very careful to stay away from negative people or to put up some protection for yourself so that you don't catch their mood. And how can you protect yourself? Well, you see, our thoughts create our feelings, and those create our behavior, and our behavior brings about our results. And so if you don't want to catch that other person's negativity, you need to think positive thoughts. You need to make every effort to be positive on a regular basis. You need to think good things. And how do you do that? You do that by starting in the morning with affirmations. You talk to yourself. See, communication starts with how you talk to yourself. Do you talk to yourself in a positive way? Do you tell yourself that you are a person of value? Because if you do that, you will feel better about yourself. And when you feel good about yourself, then your behavior is better. And when we have good behavior, we normally bring about good results. And so that's how you protect yourself, is you do your affirmations in the morning. You tell yourself that you are a positive, good, self-confident person, and you repeat that to yourself. And you keep on repeating that to yourself. You also want to listen to positive CDs in your car so that you hear positive things on your way to work, and then you want to listen to it on the way home so you hear positive things on the way home. You see, if you truly value yourself, you're not demanding perfection from yourself. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be interested in other people. You just have to show that interest. You have to listen. You have to make sure that there's understanding when you are communicating with another person. So do your affirmations in the morning, listen to your CDs, and listen to positive things. Now, that leads us right into valuing other people. See, if you're going to have communication that really brings about good results, then you have to value other people. And how do you do that? You value other people by listening. Listening is critical. And you know, there are three steps to listening. A lot of people don't realize it. You don't just sit there and it goes right in your head. You know, you have to be really, really present. The first step in listening is attending, meaning you are really present. You're right there. You're looking at the other person. You're leaning forward. You're following. This is the second step. You're following along. You're saying, uh-huh, yes, and maybe you're repeating back a word that the other person's saying now and then. And then the third step is paraphrasing or repeating back to the other person what you heard them say. You know, we're very guilty about jumping right in with our side of the story when somebody finishes, but it would behoove us to really listen to what they have to say and repeat back what we heard them say and what we understood them to mean, because that would show them that we really are listening to them. You see, we may succeed in hearing every word, and yet we might miss the meaning altogether because we weren't really listening. Listening is not, it's not an ability. Listening's not an ability. Listening is a skill. It's a skill. Hearing is the ability. Now, if you don't hear well, we can get you a hearing aid. But if you don't listen well, there's no listening aid out there that we can get. Listening comes from making the effort to really, really hear what the other person says and what they mean. Now, there are some benefits to listening. If you really listen well, it will help you build your credibility because you'll know what they're talking about and you can talk about what they're talking about. If you really listen well, it will also help you to sway their opinion and to make decisions, because when you're listening, you're getting it. You're getting the information you need in order to use it in your side of the conversation in order to negotiate better. Because if you haven't heard what they said, if you're just busy trying to get your side of the point out there and you're not listening to what they say, you can't negotiate, because negotiation is about finding what's the best in the situation for both of you. So you need to really, really hear what the other person says and means in order to do that negotiation, to sway their opinion, to help them make different decisions. Now, you can do that, too, by showing them that you value them. See, listening shows the other person that you value them, that you care about them, that you're making the effort to hear what it is that they say. And when you do that, you're better able to control the situation. And so, listening has benefits to both people. It has benefits to the other person because it makes them feel like you really, really care and that you're really hearing about them, hearing what they have to say, and that you value them. And it has a benefit to you because you get more information. It helps you build your credibility. It helps you be a better negotiator. It helps you control the situation. It's amazing. And, you know, listening also helps you build your memory. I hear people say all the time, I just can't remember names. Well, the reason we don't remember names is usually because we didn't hear them in the first place and we didn't use them right away. If you really listen and you use the person's name 3 or 4 times in the next few minutes, you'll remember the name. You'll put the name together with the face. It's very powerful, this listening skill. And it's one of the most underutilized skills many of us have. It's one of the most underutilized skills. We really need to learn to use it. Another skill that many of us don't take the time to really learn how to do is the skill of questioning. If you want to communicate for results, you need to get information. And you get information by asking questions. And the way you ask questions is you want to ask open questions. Now, those are questions that start with the words what, where, when, which, who, and how. If you will use open questions, you will get information. You will get information. If you ask questions that start with words like have, do, did, are, can, is, may, could, should, and would, you're going to get yes or no answers. Have you done this? Yes. Did you do it this way? Yes. Are you going to do this? No. Can you do this? No. Is this what you want? No. May I help you? No. Couldn't you do blah, blah, blah? Yes. See, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. And that gives you no information. That makes the other person feel like they're being interrogated, and it does not get you the information that you want. So stick with the open questions. And remember, open questions start with the words like what, where, when, which, who, and how. Yes. Why is also an open question, but be careful with why, because why sounds like a blame question. Why did you do it that way? It almost goes with the word stupid at the end of the sentence. So be very, very careful to stay away from that word why, because it's not a powerful word, and even though it might get you information, it might also get you some resistance. It might get you resistance. See, if we're going to value other people and get our communication to really, really count, you have to not assume how other people think or feel. You have to ask them questions and find out, because other people don't think or feel like we think or feel. And you don't want to force other people to be defensive. So that's why you're going to use the open questions. Your choice of words counts so much when you're trying to communicate for results. You've got to be careful about the words that you use, because you want to be able to show people that you are really caring and you are really interested in what they have to say. If you're not letting them see that you're interested, if you're just bound and determined on pushing your point out there, conflict is very likely to occur, because any time communication is ineffective, conflict starts to occur. And so, what is conflict? Well, conflict is really made up of a lot of fears. It really is. It's fear of rejection, fear of humiliation, fear of reprisal, fear of losing. It could even be a fear of winning that causes conflict. I always jokingly, in my seminars, I've got people and I say conflict is the confusion created when one's mind overrides the body's basic desire to choke the living daylights out of some jerk who desperately deserves it. But really and truly, what conflict is just differences. It's just differences. You think one thing and I think the other, and between you and I, there's a gap. There's a gap between what you see and what I see. And the conflict is that gap. And all we need to do is look at how do we close that gap. How are we alike? Start looking for things in which we agree. How are we alike? How can we make it better? You see, it's so important for us to learn to be assertive. And you say, assertive? Well, what is assertive? Oh, I can do seminars on assertiveness. But for right now, let's just say being assertive means that we can express our own wants, needs, and expectations without violating the rights of another person. Let's do that again. Being assertive means that we can express our own wants, needs, and expectations without violating the rights of another. So when we're in conflict, when our communication isn't working, when it's not getting us the results we want, we have to say, okay, these are my wants, needs, and expectations, and not start jumping all over the other person. You want to find out what are their wants, needs, and expectations, and see how you can bring the two together to make them work. You see, in assertiveness, we have to consider three things. We have to consider the role that we play in the relationship. what the relationship is, and what our responsibility is, and what our responsibility is. You see, we all play roles in life. We're either the employee, or the boss, or the supervisor, or the manager, or the subcontractor, or the contractor. We're also the daughter, or the wife, or the husband, or the friend. We play roles. And we have relationships to these people. And even though if we were in conflict with our grandmother, we need to consider that relationship because we might have the same conflict at work, but we would handle it differently because the relationship is different between the boss or the manager. See, we have a responsibility to do certain things certain ways, and our responsibilities in each role are different. And these things have to be taken into consideration when we are wanting to communicate for results. What is the result that you want to get? What is the result that you want to bring about? You see, there are many benefits to conflict, and if we don't look at it as a bad thing, if we just look at conflict as something good, we look at conflict as a way to come to understanding, then we don't have to get ourselves all angry and worked up, because there are benefits to conflict. One of them is that we do come to a better understanding. That we do, because of the conflict, we are better able to look at the problem and the solution and identify what those two are. We are able to do a reality adjustment because the other person sees it different than we see it. And, you know, we're not always right. Even though we like to think we're always right, we need to listen to the other person and really, really hear what it is that that person is saying and say, how is this like what I'm saying, or how is this different than what I'm saying? And, you know, conflict brings about increased knowledge and increased skill, and it enhances our creativity, and it contributes to goal attainment. And so all of these things are important. The conflict's not good or bad. It's what you do with conflict that makes it good or bad. So what can you do when you're in conflict? Well, the first thing is anchor yourself. And what I mean by that is anchor your self-esteem. Stay in your positive moment. Breathe. Really breathe. Take just a minute. Breathe. And know who you are. Anchor that self-confidence that you have. And you do that by your affirmations or by saying positive things to yourself. I can handle this. I can deal with this situation. I'm going to stay with this until we get a positive outcome for both people. So there are many assertiveness skills that you can learn in order to help you with this. I teach assertiveness training, and I can help you by giving you some skills that you can use. And let me give you a real quick one here because it's easy. It's called the EASY Method, and it's an acronym, E-A-S-Y. It stands for express how you feel, about what, say what you want done differently, and get a yes or no. Now, E stands for express. Express how you feel. See, you have the right to express your feelings. You have the right to say I'm angry. You have the right to say I'm frustrated, but you do not have the right to act on them. So you just tell the person, this is how I feel, about what, here's what I want you to do differently, and then you get them to say yes or no. Now, I'll do another whole program just on this EASY Method. I think that would help a great deal. Thank you for joining me today. This is Judy Mario, and I appreciate you being here for communicating for results. If you would like to continue receiving information which will help you elevate your self-esteem and help you with your communication, just go to my website, judymorio.com, J-U-D-I-M-O-R-E-O.com, and sign up for my free monthly newsletter. And remember, you are always more than enough.